Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. Here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be with you on the afternoon drive. Very excited about today's show. And it's Thursday. We're getting ready to wrap up the week. We've been talking a lot of college football. Yesterday, we had James Couser on, Southern Utah defensive end who's getting set for the NFL draft. It was great talking to James. Today we're going to talk Utah Ute football. Coach Kyle Whittingham is going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Coach Witt's going to join us over the phone to talk about spring practice so far for the Utes. You get about 15 of those. Not a whole lot of time. Big quarterback competition going on right now at the University of Utah. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? We'll talk to Coach Wood about that. Also, we'll talk about the receiving core as well. A lot of the major targets gone for Utah. And I know that there was some promise out of the backfield last year with Joe Williams. But how do you replace Devontae Booker? A lot of questions with this Ute team. I do believe this Ute team can win the Pac-12 South this year if everybody remains healthy. Looking at it right now in early spring, I think they have the talent to get the Pac-12 South championship, which would be great. This team's won, 19 games over the past 2 years. Coach Witt's got this team moving in the right direction. So we'll talk some Utah Ute football. Also, last night was a very important night for the Utah Jazz in the NBA. The Dallas Mavericks getting a victory over the Houston Rockets. We're getting down to it. Final four games of the regular season. I think it plays in Utah's favor, Dallas getting that victory last night. Because Houston, for as inconsistent as the Rockets have been this year, they have four games against teams under 500 to wrap up the season. On the flip side of that, Dallas has four games against teams above 500. Utah, they still have to play the Lakers. They got a tough one with the Clippers tomorrow night. I don't like that matchup for the Jazz. If Utah wins out, they're in the postseason. It's that simple. Finish the season at 4-0, you go to the playoffs. If you slip up once, Houston, as it stands right now, holds the tiebreaker over the Jazz. They split the season set 2-2, but Houston would have the better record against the conference, so the Rockets would get into the postseason. So the Jazz control their own destiny as it stands right now, but we'll talk some NBA basketball with our good friend Jameson Welsh. That's coming up in just a bit. As far as the national sports scene goes, well, it's round one of the Masters, and defending champion, 2015 champ Jordan Spieth, fantastic. Right now, he's at the top of the leaderboard, minus six after the opening day. Danny Lee right behind him, tied for second with Shane Lowry. And then you got, they're both at four under, excuse me. And then at three under, Paul Casey, Justin Rose, Ian Poulter, and Rory McIlroy, all three shots behind Spieth as we get set to wrap up the first round. Still a couple of golfers out on the links right now. Jimmy Walker, an American who's tied for eighth, he's out. He's two under par right now. Then you got to go all the way down. Phil Mickelson, even after the first round, he's tied for 23rd. So we'll keep an update on the Masters over the next couple of days. Round one underway. And again, Jordan Spieth, he's at the top as he finished his round six under par. Plenty of Major League Baseball going on right now as well. How about the Los Angeles Dodgers? Got to talk about the Dodgers for a second because they blanked the Padres again last night. Now, the Dodgers are playing lights-out baseball. They have, they pitched three consecutive shutouts. It's something that has not happened since 1963 when the St. Louis Cardinals started the season, the first set blanking their opponent. The Dodgers have done it with Clayton Kershaw, who was great on opening night, Scott Kazmir, pitched, I believe, a two or three hitter. And then last night, we seen the debut of Kenta Maeda. And he was pretty good. He also went yard in his second at bat. Comes the second Dodger to homer in his debut Second since, it was the first since Jose Offerman did it. That's how long it's been. The Dodgers are playing great baseball. The Padres, not so much. Now, I was really curious. I don't know if this Dodger team has what it takes to win the NL West. They get the Giants today. We're in the middle of the fifth inning, and the Dodgers have blanked the Giants up to this point. They hold a 4-0 lead. So that marks 31 innings without a single run. The Dodgers just playing lights out baseball. Some other scores around the major league ranks. Cincinnati getting the best of Philadelphia 10-6 earlier today. Boston and Cleveland was postponed. And then there's some action tonight. 7:40, we get Chicago and Arizona. And 8:05, it's Texas taking on the Angels. The NBA scoreboard, again, it's very important this time of the year as we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Plenty of action tonight. Toronto and Atlanta. This is a game in the East, the way it's setting up, but we'll get into this in just a bit. Cleveland is the number one team. Toronto is number two. 3 through 8, it's kind of up for grabs right now. It's a very important game for Atlanta. Chicago at Miami, the Bulls are facing a must-win situation. It's crazy to think that the Chicago Bulls may not be in the postseason. And the Eastern Conference has improved. It's improved drastically. Chicago's been marred by injuries, but I think if this team misses the postseason, it's one of the most talented teams to miss the playoffs that we've seen in quite some time. They still have one of the top four skilled bigs in the league in Pau Gasol. Jimmy Butler's been hurt. Derrick Rose isn't the guy that he once was, but it just hasn't been a good season for the Bulls. Must-win situation for them tonight. They're on the road taking on Miami. Phoenix will visit Houston. Big game again on the Jazz playoff watch. Minnesota is at Sacramento, and San Antonio will be on the road to take on Golden State. This game is meaningless for both teams. Historically, it means something for the Golden State Warriors, who cannot lose another game if they want to eclipse the Bulls' 72-win regular season record. A loss tonight, they can still get to 72 wins. But right now, Golden State 69-9 following an upset loss to Minnesota, 124-117. That was somewhat shocking, to say the least. But tonight, TNT, 8:30 tip-off. Steph Curry and company going at the San Antonio Spurs. That game at home. I'll definitely be watching this one tonight. I think the majority will. Also on the show today, if we get time, we got to start talking some boxing. We're just a couple of days away on what could be Manny Pacquiao's final fight as a professional. He says it will be his final fight. He's going up against Timothy Bradley for the third time at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. That's set for Saturday. We'll start previewing that. I know we're going to dive heavy into some boxing talk tomorrow. But again, on the show today, Coach Kyle Whittingham, he's going to join us in just a minute over the telephone. We'll get you a local sports update, and then we'll come back with Coach Witt. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
Supreme Auto Repair is currently looking for a highly motivated service writer for their automotive repair business. They want individuals who are motivated by a high earning potential, pay attention to important details, and are interested in being part of a great team. Supreme Auto offers benefits that include insurance, vacation, and uniforms. If this description is you or someone you know, send your resume to 911 East 100 North or stop by their shop in the Piccolo Car Care Center behind Smith's for an application. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Emory Spartan baseball team suffered another loss yesterday, this time in non-league action on the road against the Uinta Utes by a final score of 10-0. The setback marks the third consecutive loss for Emory, and it dips their overall record to 2-11 on the season. Wednesday's game came following a loss to the San Juan Broncos 8-2 on Tuesday. Emory will get another crack at San Juan tomorrow as the two teams square off at 3 p.m. in Blanding. That'll be another region contest for both teams. Originally scheduled for Friday and Saturday, worrisome weather has changed the USU Eastern Golden Eagles' final homestand of the year with Salt Lake Community College to today and tomorrow. All the action will get rolling at 1 p.m. today. It'll be doubleheader action in the final four games of the home season. As the current standings hold, USU Eastern is just one game behind Salt Lake Community College for fourth place in the conference standings. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, head coach Scott Madsen was a guest, and he talked about the schedule change on how it would affect his team.
Wish I would have had another day of hitting to go through some things, but I feel like my kids are ready, and when I told them that, they were all excited to get after them as soon as they could. So, you know, I feel like we're ready, and we're looking forward to them coming into our place.
Again, today's action will get running at 1 p.m. Tomorrow, which will be the final home games of the season, will also be Law Enforcement Appreciation Day.
Friday, we're going to have Law Enforcement Appreciation Day and the ambulance, too, where they get in free. Everybody comes there. The Institute is supposed to come between games and feed everybody, so there's free hot dogs and hamburgers then. And then there's another special thing we're doing where we're putting an honorary person on our team. His name is Jace Marietti. He just had a rough time with his disease he's going through, and he's been a good friend of mine, and he's a huge fan of baseball and the law enforcement, so we're going to do something big for him, and we'd really appreciate to get the support out on Friday where we start at 1.
Make sure you head out to the ballpark and support the Golden Eagles in their final homestand of the season. It was reported earlier this week by Emory High School Principal Larry Davis that John Famalo would be the next head football coach, filling in for former coach Jim Jones following his resignation. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, Famalo was a guest, and he talked about the excitement of being named head coach.
Nervousness, that's really what it comes down to. Again, there's some big shoes to fill with Coach Jones. That's a wonderful legacy, and to be able to step in and to kind of pick up where he left off, you know, that's a big task. I'm familiar with football. I've done it for a lot of years, different levels, but so it's a different animal for me, so a little bit of nervousness, but excitement at the same time.
Famalo continued by saying it's sad to say goodbye to the legacy that Coach Jim Jones built.
Honestly, again, as a player, and then also being sort of under him in the last few years, it is sad to see him. He's a good coach. He knew quite a bit about the game and taught me quite a bit about it in the few years I was able to coach with him, and so he left a wonderful legacy behind him, and a lot of kids that went through his program have nothing but good to say about him, including myself.
Remember, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM is your home for Emory Sport and Athletics. We'll have more regarding the football team in the coming days. And we'll end by taking a look at today's high school schedule. The Emory Spartan soccer team will play host to the Grand Red Devils. Start time for this game is for 4 p.m. That will be a region game. And on Carbon High School side, the tennis team will play host to Richfield. Start time for this game is set for 3 p.m. That has been a look at sports in the local Castle Country area. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Muscarini.
Hi, this is Ron Barr, host of Sports Byline USA. I just want to remind you that if you want to know what's going on in sports, be sure to check in with Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Drive Time Sports digs deep into the local athletic scene, giving you exclusive interviews from coaches and players. Each show consists of special guest interviews and a listener discussion of timely sports topics. Get your local and national daily sports fix weekdays with Drive Time Sports from 4 to 5 on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-930-9876. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-930-9876. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-930-9876. 1-800-930-9876.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Follow me into the jungle. Wrapping up the college football talk here on Drive 10 Sports. Yesterday, we talked to Southern Utah defensive end James Couser as he prepares for the NFL draft. Today, we're going to focus on spring football. April 23rd, the Utah Utes will play host to their spring game. Coach is going to work with their team during the spring season for about 3-4 weeks. I think you get something like 15 practices. A lot of questions for this Utah Ute squad. I think the defense is going to be fantastic this year, specifically up front. What else is new? But there will be a new quarterback under center, three competing for one spot, including transfer Troy Williams, who's coming in from Washington. Joining us over the phone for the first time in 2016 to talk not only about the team, but the spring workouts as a whole, we have head football coach Kyle Whittingham. Coach, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Always look forward to it. It's so much fun to talk with you. Thank you.
Well, appreciate you having me on.
Definitely, Coach. Let's dive right into it. Spring football, it's underway. I mean, we're a couple of weeks into it already. How have things gone?
So far, so good. You know, we're 7 practices down, 8 to go. And, you know, we've got a lot going on, quarterback battle, linebacker battles. And you know, it's been good so far, and we feel like we're making progress.
I know the first topic that, or at least one of the first questions that most people are going to ask you about is, of course, that that quarterback battle. Coach, you guys bring in Troy Williams. I know he was hurt earlier in this week. Is everything okay on that front?
Well, we're still getting some evaluations, and we know in the long run it's going to be fine. We're just still finding out exactly what the best course of action is right now.
With that being said, how has Brandon Cox and Tyler Huntley look so far?
Very good. You know, they split the reps on Tuesday's practice, which was the first practice that Troy was unavailable. And both those guys did a nice job. And Tyler Huntley is really, really impressive when you consider that he is should be still in high school. You know, he graduated early and joined us in January. And for what he's been able to do in the short time he's been with us is pretty remarkable.
Interesting question, Coach. I've never asked a D1 coach about this. Troy Williams comes over from a school that you're very familiar with. How is it not only coaching somebody that, you know, you've had a game plan before, or you've game planned for his team before, but trying to get them acclimated to your system and your school in a short period of time?
Well, believe it or not, there's not a whole lot of difference between, you know, how programs are run. I mean, there is some subtle differences, but the same basic structure, you know, as far as the hours per week and the expectations and the routine is not a lot different. And so it's we feel it's a big plus for him to have had that experience, and he really hit the ground running in our program because he did have that Division I experience at Washington.
We'll stick with the offense here for a second. No Devontae Booker. A lot of Ute fans, of course, sad about that. But Joe Williams gave Ute fans plenty to smile about last season. Last year when I talked to you in the springtime, you said, I got Devontae wrapped in bubble wrap right now. We're going to make sure he's healthy going into the regular season. Is it similar with Joe?
No, it's not. Joe still needs to work. He did not have nearly the carries that Devontae did his junior year, so he's still relatively inexperienced in our program. He only had the last couple games where he was a featured back, and so he's getting a full workload this spring, and he's doing very well. We think he's going to be a very productive back for us this fall, and he's got that great breakaway speed, which is probably his main asset. But no, Joe is working full time and working on all aspects of his game: blitz pickup, catching the ball out of the backfield, and of course running the football.
What's the biggest difference between Joe Williams and Devontae Booker as far as volume wise that we may see on the field? I mean, there were times that Devontae is getting 35, 40 touches a game. Is there going to be a big difference between that and Joe Williams, at least in your mind right now?
Yeah, I don't see Joe's workload being as extensive as Devontae's was. In fact, I don't know anybody in the country that was as extensive as Devontae's last year. And unfortunately, he had the knee injury, and we don't think that was a product of his workload. It was just a fluke accident. But it's a situation where Joe is probably more a 20 carry a back game rather than what Devontae was able to handle with 30 plus, and that being the case, we've got to get some supplemental yardage from Troy McCormick, and we got Marcel Manalo, who's done a nice job so far this spring, and we add 2 backs in the fall, so we've got to sort that out as to who is going to be the I guess you could say the understudy to Joe and the guy that comes in and gives us those supplemental yards.
We say goodbye to a lot of go-to targets from last season, Coach. How does the receiving core look right now?
Well, they're much improved, and we did lose Kenneth Scott, who was the number one guy last year, but just about everybody else is back. We hope to get Timmy Patrick back. He's doing some limited work in spring ball right now, and looks like he's going to be ready to go for the fall. We're still crossing our fingers on that one, but there's a lot of improvement that's taking place, and like I said, we had a lot of young guys in the receiving core last year who were 1 year more experienced, 1 year more mature, and ready to go.
Coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes, our guest right now. Coach, let's flip it to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, every year we talk to you, we know that the defensive line is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And a couple of returners there that I'm sure you have high expectations for this season as well.
Without a doubt. That'll be the strong suit of the football team, and that's, we got, 8, 9, 10 guys that we feel are going to be contributors this fall, and we're very fortunate to have a great defensive line that's for I don't know how many years in a row now we've had it, but that is a good place to start a defensive foundation is up front, and those guys have been very good so far this spring, and we expect them to be amongst the best in the Pac-12 come fall.
What about the secondary, Coach? There's some interesting athletes involved right now as far as if we talk defensive backs, if we talk safety, whatever it is. I mean, you guys have several good athletes, to say the least, in the secondary, Brian Allen especially.
We do, and we think the secondary is going to be another solid aspect of the defense. It was last year. We were, I think, second or third in the nation in interceptions last year, and the secondary and the defensive line work hand in hand in that aspect as far as the defensive line getting pressure on the quarterback, so he has to make some throws that maybe aren't ideal, and we've got just about everybody coming back. We lose Tevin Carter, but other than that, we've got the secondary intact. Brian Allen, as you mentioned, is a guy that is continues to get better. He's only been at the position for about a year and a half now, but he is really, really starting to feel comfortable, and we think he's going to be a very good player for us this fall.
Maybe it's my Utah bias here, but I'm not sure that there's a more intriguing athlete that you'll find in the secondary than Brian Allen, especially with the transition that you just mentioned with Coach.
Exactly, and he's got great length, and that is his greatest attribute. He's 6'2.5" and has a big wingspan, and he's very similar to the big corners that we've had come through the program in the past that have been very successful. Sean Smith, Keith McGill, Eric Rowe, to name a few, and he's of that same body type, and we think that he's got the chance to be along the lines of those guys.
I know that the main point of emphasis is obviously staying healthy from this time leading up to the spring game towards the end of the month. But from a coaching staff, what do you guys try to get accomplished in such a short period of time? I mean, you mentioned you only get 15 practices.
Yeah, well, the number one objective is to make every player in the program better fundamentally and technique-wise. We're not real concerned with scheme during the spring, trying to get the best of each other offensively or defensively. It's making a concerted effort to make sure everybody is fundamentally and technique sound. And if each individual can become a better football player collectively as a team, we're going to become a better football team.
Yeah, definitely. Building off of 19 wins over the past two seasons, I mean, obviously this program is moving in the right direction. High expectations this year, right?
Well, you could say that. We got a quarterback change, which sometimes there's a little bit of a learning curve or some bumps in the road when you change quarterbacks. Travis was our guy for 3.5 years, and so it's a lot of our success this fall will depend on how we're able to make that transition and how quickly the new guy can settle in and perform like we need him to.
Coach, I definitely appreciate the time. It's always fun to talk to you. Look forward to seeing the team on April 23rd at the spring game. And again, thank you.
Okay, Jordan, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
That's Coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes talking about spring workouts. Again, the Utes in their spring game at Rice-Eccles Stadium on April 23rd. We've got to pause for just a moment. Plenty more still to come. When we return, we're going to move over to NBA basketball. It's really starting to heat up as far as the playoff picture goes. Jamison Welsh, great friend of the show from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, will join me for a playoff discussion when we return.
Being a sports fan can be painful, whether you're participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team. Your chance of injury is higher. Our local orthopedic surgeons, Dr. Scott Justison and Dr. Kelly Jensen, encourage all of you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport or if you're a passionate fan and you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Justison or Dr. Jensen.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Remember these days of the week. Why? Monday through Thursday, KFC and A&W have daily specials for only $3.99. Monday is the Papa Burger. Tuesday, Country Fried Steak. Wednesday, Chicken and Corn. And of course, Thursday, the famous Chicken Pot Pie. Choose your favorite day of the week, and lunch is only $3.99. At this price, you can even take your coworker to lunch. KFC and A&W, lunch is done.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, I'm Nick Ori. I was born and raised in Carbon County. I grew up on a local farm and know the meaning of hard work. Customer satisfaction is my top priority. Give me a call today at Tony Basso GM, 650-4565.
The best price, a great deal locally every day at Tony Basso GM. Young with two, lets it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young. So I can see you listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. We're going to talk NBA basketball for this particular segment. Last night, there was a monumental game as far as the Western Conference playoff picture shapes, and the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks going toe-to-toe. Dallas, the home squad, they get the 88-86 win. Right now, as it stands, the Utah Jazz would be the eighth seed in the West. Just a game behind Dallas, they're a game above Houston. As it stands now, Houston owns a tiebreaker over the Jazz, and Utah and Dallas, the tiebreaker comes down to a matchup next week between the two teams. Joining us to talk NBA and more, we have Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, what a fun time for the NBA.
Oh, it's a great time. The final week of the season's here, a lot of tiebreaker scenarios, final games, all this and that. A lot of good stuff to talk about, playoffs starting in about 9 days. Can't wait for it to come to fruition, but yeah, it's a great time.
Let's start by talking about the Jazz. They'll return to KOAL here tomorrow night when they take on the Los Angeles Clippers. That's a tough game for Utah. The Clippers have already clinched a playoff spot. They've hit the 50-win mark after knocking off the Lakers last night. Utah is in desperate need of at least winning three out of the final four. That may not even be good enough to get into the postseason, depending on what Houston does. But the Jazz need a win tomorrow night against the Clippers. And Jameson, I'm not quite sure they match up well with the Clippers, but as it boils down, it's crunch time for a very young team.
They don't really match up well with the Clippers. They have some matches that are okay, but that point guard spot, of course, is just a bad, bad situation. The one thing I'm looking at is this. The Clippers may not play their full guys. They may rest their guys. They're pretty much sewn into that fourth spot. They're going to play whoever's fifth. They can't move up to catch OKC. They can't go down. They're in the fourth spot. They can rest some guys because, remember, they play Chris Paul and J.J. Redick and DeAndre Jordan a lot of minutes when Blake Griffin was out. So they can rest guys. So there's no guarantee that the Clippers will have their full squad tomorrow night. So if the Clippers rest guys, the Jazz probably get an easy win, and that helps them going forward. We'll see what happens with standings and whatnot. But that's something that could happen. Not saying it's going to, with a great possibility of it happening, especially with a veteran team like the Clippers. But the Jazz have to pretty much win all these games out. They got to make it. I mean, you're playing for your playoff lives every night, so you got to find a way to win. I will say this. The Jazz give teams a lot of problems because of their style. They slow the game down. They play pretty good defense. The biggest problem with them is their offense. Their offense is so bogged down that they can't really score 25 to 30 in a quarter repeatedly. They may be able to get one, but they can't get two or three. A lot of the better teams in the Western Conference can get multiple 25-plus quarters if need be, and they can't do that at this time.
You look at the final four games for the Jazz, home against the Clippers, at Denver on Sunday, home against Dallas on Monday, of course, highlight that game, and then you wrap up the season on the road against the Lakers next Wednesday. Again, if the Jazz went out, they get into the postseason, and I say that they probably should look to win all four because Houston's schedule towards the end is very favorable. Houston will play four teams that are under 500, and then you look at the Dallas Mavericks and how this team ends the season. Dallas has a little bit more difficult schedule, I think, than both Utah and Houston. If players are playing, Memphis obviously has something to play for. The Clippers, that game is on Sunday. Again, we don't know what Clipper team we're going to see. Monday, Dallas gets the Jazz, and then they wrap up the season against San Antonio at home. The Spurs will not be playing, everybody. We know that for a fact. That's just not the way Popovich rolls. So it really is going to... It's coming down to it, James, and it's almost hard to predict at this point.
It's very hard to predict. You know, you just don't know what teams are going to do, you know, in terms of rest and whatnot. But I will say this, you know, when it comes down to these kind of, you know, last few days of the season, crazy things happen. You know, very few things that people expect, you know, start to take place. So it would not surprise me to see a team under 500 catch Houston. Like, for instance, it would not surprise me if Minnesota or Sacramento beat Houston in the last week or so. It wouldn't because both of those teams, yeah, they're not in the playoffs, but they're playing. They're playing pretty well, you know, all day to sit around this time. So it would not surprise me to see anything crazy happen. Because last week of the season, players are playing. Remember, there's a lot of guys playing for that next contract somewhere else. It may not be with the team they're on, but they're playing, and scouts are always watching. So it would not surprise me to see a team that we don't expect to get Houston or Dallas or Utah. It would not surprise me. Even the Lakers on Wednesday night next week, it's going to be a very interesting game, emotional game. A lot of things going on in that game. It wouldn't surprise me if the Lakers win that game. And, you know, those are things that happen that you have no control over.
Let's talk about Houston here for a second. They lose last night, a game that was right there for the taking. They only score 15 points in the fourth quarter in last night's loss. I'll tell you one thing I have a problem with when I take a look at Houston, and I've been very critical of Dwight Howard over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years here on the show. But Michael Beasley is taking more shots than Dwight Howard. And to me, that's just completely inexcusable. And I don't know if James Harden's to blame for that. I don't know if it's Bickerstaff. I don't know if it's the flow of the offense. But Jameson, this just can't happen right now. Dwight goes 7 of 9. It was an efficient night for him from the field. He ends up with 14 points and 16 boards. And you were talking about a stale offense in the Jazz. Look, this Houston Rocket team scoring 86 points, that just can't happen.
Well, there's a lot of issues in Houston, and I think it starts with the front office. Whenever you bring in a guy like Michael Beasley in the middle of the season, something's not going right with you. I like Michael Beasley, but, you know, that's not the guy you want to be leaning toward to be your savior in the middle of March. That's just not the guy. But, you know, there's a lot of issues there. You know, you have an interim coach there. You have a star player, James Harden, that's not really a leadership-type guy for his own team. So there's really not a whole lot that's going on. Pretty much, you throw the ball out there, and guys are playing. Dwight, unfortunately, is in a situation where there's a lot of guys that like to get shots up, and he's not the primary focus of the offense. He might be the third or fourth option of the offense on any given night, and that's not what he signed up for. But he had to see it coming, though, because he's never been the offensive guy in Houston.
Again, Jamie.
He's the primary guy. So he had to see this coming. But I do agree with you. There's no way that Michael Beasley should be getting up more shots, and, you know, other guys on that roster should be getting up more shots. That shouldn't happen at all.
Again, Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, our guest right now. Jameson, let's transition over to the East. Why not? I mean, the top of the standings in the East, somewhat boring. Cleveland has pretty much solidified the one spot. Toronto right behind them, pretty much solidifying the number two spot. Then it gets interesting. Atlanta at 46-32 in the three spot, tied with Boston. Only a half game behind is Miami at 45-32, a game behind is Charlotte at 45-33, and then you have Indiana and Detroit, 42 wins each, and Chicago and Washington on the outside looking in, and it looks like we can close the curtain on the season for Chicago and Washington. Chicago may be the most talented team not to make the postseason in quite some time. But the East, 3-8, very interesting right now. This is a fun race to watch as well.
Well, the East is always fun, man, because you have a lot of teams that are but they're always battling. Every year in the East, there's always some race at the end. I think we know who's going to be the playoff teams in the East. I think Detroit's going to get that eighth spot. Looks like Chicago's not going to make the playoffs. But that 3-6, I think there's a lot of stuff going on. It changes every night. Like, literally every game, every night, it changes. So 3-6 is going to be interesting. The one team I'm looking out for is the Hornets. I actually like the kind of brand of basketball they're playing. I don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. I really don't. But it would not surprise me for them to advance to the second round. It wouldn't shock me. They play a pretty good brand of basketball. Their offense is a lot better this year. They're still a really good defensive team. And I like them. I like them. The Heat are a boom or bust team. The Heat are a team that they can lose in the first round in five, or they can go to the conference finals and be playing in a game seven. Like, that's their window. That's what they can do. So who knows if you're going to get with them. The Hawks. We don't really trust them that much. But that 3-6 is very, very entertaining. A lot of different things going on there. But at the end of the day, I still think we get Cleveland, Toronto in the conference finals.
Let's get one thing clear in the East right now. I agree with you. I think we get Cleveland and Toronto as well. But nobody in the Eastern Conference is playing lights-out basketball at this point in time, which is why I actually like you picking the Charlotte Hornets to maybe shake things up. It's not out of the equation that even a team like Detroit could give Cleveland some problems in the first round because, again, nobody is playing lights-out basketball in the East. It's all been fairly even kill, 6-4 over the last 10 games playing .500 basketball.
Well, my thing is this. In the East, everybody's kind of playing choppy basketball. People are wrestling players. You know, it's the dog days of the year, so it's a little different. But at the end of the day, Cleveland's still the best team, no matter what happens, no matter who's playing what. If, you know, in the playoffs, it's a different game, and you got LeBron James, who's the best player in the Eastern Conference, and he takes his game up to another level in the playoffs. So, you know, the Cavs are number one. Who's going to step up and be number two is a greater question because I think Toronto's going to be that team. We've talked about this many times. I just don't know. I don't know what we're going to get from them. I hope they turn the corner, but you never know. So we'll see what takes place. We'll see what happens. You know, Boston's a team that's interesting. I don't know if their style works come playoff time, but they're a very interesting team as well to keep an eye on. It's going to be very interesting to see this. There's a team that's going to step up and do some things that we don't expect in the East. There's going to be somebody out there, whether it's Boston, Charlotte, maybe even Atlanta. I don't know. But there's going to be a team out in the East that does something we don't expect. It could be Detroit pushing Cleveland to 6 or 7. It could be. So we've got to take a look. It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be. I think there's more fun in the Eastern Conference this year than in the West.
I'll say this, moving away from playoff contention, we're down to the final 6 days of Kobe Bryant's career in the NBA. Starting to set in, Jameson. We're saying goodbye to a legend. It's always sad. It doesn't matter what sport we're talking about when we get to this point. I know we have a lot of NASCAR fans that listen to the show, and it wasn't that long ago we said goodbye to Jeff Gordon. You know, we've said goodbye to Derek Jeter, Peyton Manning. We're getting set to say goodbye to David Ortiz. It's always sad when a legend who has been a mainstay in his sport and shown a level of excellence the way Kobe or a David Ortiz or a Jeff Gordon has over the last, you know, 2 decades. It's so unique, and now we're down to the final 6 days of his career.
Man, it's we're getting old. We're getting old, man. You know, I'll be 30 in a couple months, and I remember Kobe's first game. I remember his preseason game. I remember when he broke his wrist at, you know, Venice Beach playing basketball, you know, before the season started. So there's a lot of things about this situation that's just very, very weird, but at the same time goes on, man. You just got to appreciate someone's career. Playing that long, playing at a high level for that long, and what he's accomplished. Very special player, one of a kind. You know, he's done it his way. He's been through a lot in the league, but he's the guy that all these young players look up to. All these guys in the league that are playing, that are great players, from Westbrook to Durant to all these guys, like Eaton Harden, all those guys, like, he's the guy they idolize. So it's crazy to kind of see, you know, how things have kind of changed and turned. You know, he's there. like Dwayne Wade said, he's their Michael Jordan. You know, he's their guy. And for a guy like Dwayne Wade to say that, you know, who kind of came in 5 or 6 years after, he said a lot. You know, because Dwayne Wade's a very good player in his own right. And for him to say that, it's pretty impressive right there.
Jameson, before I let you go, I know you're a busy man. You're all over the place right now. And, of course, we're a part of the Triple Threat podcast every weekend. We do that with Jabari Davis. So there's a lot of content out there. The listeners are always looking for something. I know at this stage you get set for the playoffs. Where can we find more Jameson Welsh?
Man, I'm pretty much, like you said, I'm everywhere, man. Locally, I'm in Vegas. I'm on Sports 6:70 a.m. a couple times a week. You know, at your show, of course, 13:40 a.m. with Steve Morstein out in New Mexico, and just different outlets. You just got to follow me on Twitter and whatnot. But, yeah, you can find me around. It's always a busy time around this time.
Always great to talk to you, Jameson. I know we'll catch up again next week when the playoff picture is a little bit more clear. Hopefully we're talking about some more basketball for the Utah Jazz, but I look forward to talking with you then.
Not a problem. Thanks for always having me. Definitely appreciate it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports here on AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV? Thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
This party is great. Where did you find the time to make all this wonderful food?
I didn't cook a thing. I called Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery.
No way. That Dutch oven chicken is amazing. And the rolls, I could eat the whole basket. Not to mention the pies. I thought for sure you'd spent days preparing all this great food.
No, I just called Big Mo's. Call Big Mo's at 636-0451 to help you cater your next family or company party.
I swear, the state symbol of Utah should change from the beehive to the construction cone. I hit so many potholes, I thought I'd lose my whole car. When my front end started vibrating and shaking, it was no laughing matter. My friend told me to take my car to Auto Farm. I told her, that's a dealership, and they will take forever. Well, she set me straight. Yes, they are a dealership, so they have factory training to fix your vehicle right the first time, and in less time than other shops. Auto Farm fixed the shimmy. Auto Farm Service Department is now my service department.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL, AM 750, and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports. Let's give you the Masters scoreboard update. Round one still in progress. Jordan Spieth at the top of the leaderboard. Fires a 66 in round one. That's good for 6 under par. He's got a 2-stroke lead on a second placement right now. Danny Lee along and Shane Lowry as well. And also Rory McIlroy. Rory's through 15. He's 4 under. So we got a 3-way tie right now for second place. And then after that, tied for 5th, Paul Casey, Justin Rose, Ian Poulter, Sergio Garcia. I mean, a group of guys behind McIlroy, Lowry, and Lee. But again, Jordan Spieth finishes out his first round, a 66. That's good for 6 under. Scoreboard update in Major League Baseball. We were talking about the Dodgers. Boy, did I pull the ultimate jinx on them. They went about 31 innings without giving up a single run. And then, boom, the runs come all at once. The Giants put up 3 in the 5th and 4 in the 6th. They now lead the Dodgers 7-4. The Dodgers already into the bullpen. Yimi Garcia has checked in for Alex Wood, and things have just really, really fallen to pieces for the Dodgers right now. The ultimate jinx as far as that streak goes here on Drive Time Sports. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, the Yankees right now and the Astros in the top of the 8th frame, and the Yankees hold an 8-5 lead. That's what's happening in Major League Baseball right now. We've been talking football. We're going to talk more football on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about our next guest here in just a moment. But the NFL has released the schedule for preseason. The Rams will officially make their return to Los Angeles August 13th, and that game will be on ESPN. So the NFL announced their 65-game preseason schedule, 8 nationally televised games. The Rams' first game in Los Angeles will be televised on ESPN, and it will be against the Dallas Cowboys. Very fitting. Because if you followed the L.A. saga, we followed it a lot here on the show. In fact, we talk so much L.A. relocation talk on the show, I got sick of it. If it wasn't for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, there's a great chance that the Rams are still in St. Louis. There's a great chance that the Chargers and Raiders are in L.A. I mean, if you were hoping that the Raiders and Chargers were going to relocate, blame Jerry Jones. He was the guy that went to bat for Stan Kroenke. So I think it's only right that the first game of the Coliseum features Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones. Other nationally televised games will include Green Bay against Indianapolis. That'll be on Sunday, August 8th. That's the Hall of Fame game in Canton. Atlanta will take on Miami August 25th. Cleveland at Tampa Bay on August 26th. Tennessee at Oakland August 27th. And then you get a triple header on August 28th. San Diego at Minnesota. That'll be on Fox at 11 Eastern. Then Arizona at Houston at 2. And then Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Now the Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, they're going to open up the season against the Chicago Bears. A date for that game is not yet set. They'll open up the preseason against the Bears. So the NFL releasing their preseason schedule, it's not that far off. We're 4 months away from getting some football, just a few weeks away from the NFL draft. Now today it was Coach Kyle Whittingham. Yesterday it was James Couser. Tomorrow we're going to talk to Nelson Spruce. Does that name sound familiar to you? He set the all-time record for career catches in the Pac-12. Wide receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes. That's impressive. We talked to the FCS all-time sack leader earlier in the week. We're going to close out the week by talking to the Pac-12 all-time career leader in receptions. Spruce spent some time, all 4 years of his college career at Colorado, played alongside Paul Richardson, who was a second-round draft pick by the Seattle Seahawks. Spruce is a really interesting guy in the NFL draft because, of course, we follow the Pac-12 closely here on the show. Here's a guy that, made a living with his hands. The guy catches everything that comes his direction. Doesn't have breakaway speed, though. So when you look at a Spruce, you're seeing a guy that maybe could be a second, more than likely a third man on a receiving corps. Going to find him in the slot. Just curious to see how the combine, pro day, all that has played out with him and what teams are telling him. I've seen Spruce slotted anywhere to a fifth round pick to an undrafted free agent. I'll tell you a guy that he definitely reminds me of, and that's Danny Amendola. I think there's a place for him in the NFL. At least I hope he gets a chance, considering he's the all-time leading receiver as far as receptions go in the Pac-12. So he'll join us on the show tomorrow. Definitely looking forward to that. We're bouncing all over the place. Also on the show tomorrow, we've got to talk some boxing, because by the time the show gets rolling tomorrow, we will be on the eve of what would be Manny Pacquiao, what we believe to be Manny Pacquiao's final fight as he takes on Timothy Bradley. Timothy Bradley, he has Teddy Atlas in his corner now. He's going up against Pacquiao, who's got Freddie Roach in his corner. So you have two legendary trainers going head-to-head. I think this fight's going to be, stylistically, I think it should be very pleasing. Curious to see what Pacquiao has left in the tank. There's so much talk that the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight didn't live up to the expectation because of Pacquiao's shoulder. I think it didn't live up to the expectation because Mayweather is that much better than Pacquiao. He's that much more slick defensively. Timothy Bradley is slick defensively, but he still will go toe-to-toe. And here's what makes this fight so interesting. Timothy Bradley's career, and I love Tim Bradley. We've had him on the show multiple times. Hopefully we'll get him on after the Pacquiao fight. But Timothy Bradley's career really took a hit when he beat Pacquiao the first time these two fought. It was a really controversial decision. I don't think it was as heinous as a lot of people think. I think it was a close enough fight to where you could make the argument that Bradley did win the fight. But so many people seen it lopsided that it really, really delivered a huge blow to Tim Bradley. In fact, he was booed his next time out in the ring. Then he fights Pacquiao again. What happens? He loses. And I think Bradley went into that fight with Pacquiao. We had him on the show, and he said he wanted to knock Pacquiao out. I think he went into the fight thinking the only way he was going to win is by knockout. The judges were not going to give him a decision that night in Vegas. Is it a similar deal for Bradley this go-around with Pacquiao? I think Timothy Bradley is one of the top, definitely one of the top welterweights, one of the top 10 pound-for-pound fighters in the world who is not getting his credit because of a heinous, or what many would consider a heinous decision, a victory over Pacquiao. It's amazing that a win did more damage to his career than a loss would have that night against Pacquiao. This is a very interesting fight. We'll break it down on the show tomorrow. Pacquiao Bradley. That's the way it has to be said as far as the media goes. Pacquiao Bradley Part 3. We'll bring in a couple of guests or one or so and talk about this fight on the show tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. Also, do not forget Games 1 and 2, USU Eastern and Salt Lake Community College. They're over with, or just actually Game 2, I believe, is going on right now here in town. Tomorrow, it's the final two home games of the season for the USU Eastern Golden Eagles. They'll get rolling at noon. Second game will follow immediately after. Scheduling conflict. I shouldn't say scheduling conflict. Worrisome weather over the weekend forced a schedule change. After tomorrow, USU Eastern will finish the next 5 weeks of the season on the road. So if you want to catch some local baseball, USU Eastern and Salt Lake tomorrow will be your final opportunity. Doubleheader action. We're out of time on the show today. Always a pleasure to get Coach Kyle Whittingham on. Always a pleasure to talk to Jamison Welsh. Do not forget, you can podcast everything Drive Time Sports at CastleCountryRadio.com. We got a new website up. The Drive Time Sports link at the top of the page. Click that. Coach's Corner, podcast, featured guests, and even a Hall of Fame section for some of the national guests that are just beyond sports icons. There's a spot for them as well on the page. So you can go check out Drive Time Sports wherever you're at now at CastleCountryRadio.com. I'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 to 5, right here on KOAL. Be safe. I am out.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.